clean up the slums, settle problems between labor and management, give a guaranteed livelihood to every person, whether he works or not. Now, those items will get votes for a politician, but that is not the primary thrust of the Christian. The devil has two major goals which he seeks to accomplish in your life. First, he would keep you from responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ with repentance from sin and personal faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, when you do that, you are translated out of the devil's kingdom and made a child of God. So the devil thereby loses control of your eternal spirit and cannot take you to hell with him. But even if you become a Christian, the devil still has another goal toward which he works in your life. So second, the devil seeks to keep the Christian from spiritual growth, to make him ineffective in spiritual living, and thus to keep God from being glorified or others from being influenced to come to God. If Satan can accomplish either of those goals in your life, he will have gained a great victory in the spiritual warfare between good and evil. God is on the side of faith and holiness. The devil is on the side of doubt and evil. You are the battleground between where the warfare rages. The Bible expresses it this way: the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This means the act of your will in choosing the way of faith in God or in choosing the way of rejection of God will determine who controls your life. So the Bible calls, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." How does the devil deal with a person who is committed to serve God? Well, if he can, he will turn that person's attention to earthly things and away from God. That happened to an associate of the Apostle Paul named Demas, who loved this present world and departed. So the Bible gives us the warning: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Such a person is like seed sowed among the thorns, which grows up but never produces a harvest. This is the person, Jesus says, who hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The devil will distract you with worldly things to keep you from productive service for God. Now, the devil may permit you to continue in some form of religious service if he can influence the direction your service takes. Some of our spiritual battles are not whether we will serve God, but how we will serve him. There are many people abroad in the world who are involved in religious work for the wrong motive. They are actually serving the devil instead of serving God, even in religious activity. Turn your attention back to the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The whole 40 day and night period was spent in fasting and enduring the temptations of the devil. The Bible indicates that toward the end of that 40 day period, three particular temptations came which had to do with the ministry of Jesus on earth. In one, he was challenged to turn stones to bread. In another, he was offered world dominion in exchange for worshiping the devil. In yet another, he was challenged to jump off the high pinnacle of the temple to prove God's protection over him. Each of those three temptations were related to the kind of ministry Jesus would have. An examination of the temptation of Jesus as it is related to his service for God will help you and me face similar challenge in our service for God. Would Jesus' ministry deal with the physical rather than the spiritual? That was the challenge in the devil's words: "If you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." Now, that's the way to gather the crowd. Minister to the physical, and the people will come. After Jesus had fed the multitude with the miraculous multiplication of the loaves and fish, great crowds followed him. He said to them, "You seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He began to teach them spiritual truths, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus could have captured the popular attention with a bread crusade. Clean up the slums. Settle problems between labor and management. Give a guaranteed livelihood to every person, whether he works or not. Now, those items will get votes for a politician, but that is not the primary thrust of the Christian. Start with the inside of the man. Get him in a right relation with God first. Straighten up his spirit. Then the slums will be clean, the problems will be solved, and men will have what they need to live. It is not a new jacket on a man, but a new man in the jacket, which will change society for the better. So the thrust of the Christian ministry must be to leading men to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A second part of the temptation, would Jesus' ministry be built on compromise of allegiance? The devil offered control of the world to Jesus, saying, "All this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will worship me, all shall be yours." Now that'd be a way to world dominion without going the way of the cross. Many a Christian businessman has been tempted to lower his standards of conduct. Many a pastor has been tempted to compromise a point of doctrine or a moral standard. Will we appeal to people by lowering the standards of discipleship that Jesus set? Never. Compromise of principle never benefits people nor builds the kingdom of God. The third part of Jesus' temptation was, would Jesus' ministry be built on spectacular demonstrations? That would attract the crowds. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple, the devil urged him, for God himself has promised to keep you from injury, and surely everyone would believe that you are sent from God. Now you remember Jesus' refusal to put God to the test. The appeal of the unusual and spectacular is still able to draw the crowd. It is not enough to announce miracle services and gather the curious. There must be a presentation of the gospel of grace, salvation by grace through faith, to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. Witty sermon topics, slick sermon presentations, unusual gimmicks might draw the crowd, but that is not the way that Jesus did it. Jesus refused to emphasize the physical, to compromise his principles, or to depend on spectacular demonstrations. He held to the ministry given him of the Father, and we who are the servants of God today can do no less. When we talk about serving God, we must serve God in the way that God himself has ordained, and any other way is not service to God, but is service to self and to Satan. Father, we know the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, and we thank you that it is so. We make a solemn commitment here to follow the example of Jesus in Christian service, depending on the work of the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of truth and not depending on the ability of men. To that end, we commit ourselves to you and to Christian service in the name of Jesus. Amen.